this morning. So would you just join me in prayer? God, we thank you so much for your word. We're about to open it together and we're about to look at some really tough stuff that could stir up really tough stuff in us. And so what we are asking for is courage and peace, that you would not allow us to put up defenses in our heart that keep us from the freedom that you have for us, that you would help us be real and raw and even vulnerable with you, that you would show us areas of our life where we need to like live this out and make changes as it pertains to this word that we are going to open today, that we would be more like Jesus. Would you comfort those with whom this will stir up some painful stuff? Would you encourage those who are struggling to find encouragement in life? Would you give courage to those who need to act courageously? And we ask all of this in Jesus' name, amen. So we're done with our, this is the last week in our series, How Not to Ruin Everything. This series has been all about our relationships. Are you glad it's over? Are you like, thank you, we are sick of you meddling in our relationships? Maybe you're glad it's over because you feel like finally we're like putting a wrap on it and this is like it. This is, we're gonna kind of settle in and like, it's good time to put a period at the end of the sentence on relationships. I don't know how you feel about it, but whether you feel good or bad about it, today is the day. This is the last one, and I don't know if you caught this. It's been mentioned a little bit throughout this whole series if you've been here for it. We've kind of like skirted around this subject a little bit. We kind of like nicked it once in a while. I kept telling you like, this is coming. This is happening at the end of this series. It's going to end with something that's really good, but also really heavy. And now we are there. And the title of today's message is this: forgiveness is freedom. And unforgiveness is a prison that you don't even know you're living in. I want to start talking about weight. I have some weights up here, and these weights are pink and purple. I don't know. Don't ask me. I found them in the other Pastor Josh's office. So this one is mine. I brought this one. And I just want to be really clear that this one is the smallest weight that I own. So I picked the little guy out, and then I was like, I need a couple more. And then I just happened to find these in Pastor Josh's, who's not here to defend himself, his office. So that's fun. And I need some strong volunteers. Some like, Mark, you're strong, dude. Which and Jeff, you're strong, and you're up front. So this helps, because I need everybody to be able to see the way. No, you're good. You can sit there. You're going to need to be sitting there. Which one do you want, Mark? You want the pink one? Okay, you get the pink one. That's a good. And Jeff, you can have. Jeff's a state police officer. I think he can handle the black one, don't you? Thank you, buddy. So a lot of feeling good about this. So what I wanted to do an illustration. I'm just gonna be like really transparent. It's about weight. Could you just hold these up, just one hand like this, so that everybody can see them? Mark took Josh's smallest weight. Jeff has my biggest weight. Everybody can see those weights back there. They're just holding those up. I want to talk about weights. What's the heaviest thing that you have ever carried? If you think about the heaviest thing that you ever like physically carried. I remember one time, it's not the heaviest thing I ever carried, but surprisingly heavy. My cousin played rugby at Pepperdine, and he met us up in Maine for a kind of like a guy's trip, family vacation. We were all up there in Maine having a good week up in the woods, and we brought all of our kids and our families on this one together. And so we were all hanging out, and like this, my cousin who plays rugby, he's like a rugby player. Like he's a big dude. Dude has big bones. He's slapped together. Like, I don't know if you know any rugby players. This is one of the rugby players I don't want to run into in an alley, my cousin. He's a great guy. Amazingly generous heart. You guys doing okay? You can switch hands if you need to switch hands. You have to say you're doing okay. He's got 10 pounds. You got like a one pounder. You doing all right? Don't hurt yourself. So my cousin has his kids up there, and him and his wife are both wanting to try some you know, I don't know, shirts or whatever on. It's like we're all shopping together. And so he hands me his son. Now, this kid was like 1.5 and looked like a bowling ball is too small. He's a big kid. You're looking at this kid and you're like, future rugby player, right? Like, whoever the one is that mashes you, yeah, attaboy. Do you want to switch it out? Here, switch it out. Do you need to switch it out? No. It could be a while. All right. Don't worry, you're beating him. He's just got a pink one. It matches the shirt, though. So I picked this kid up, right? And this kid is not just big, he's like heavy. I'm like, what are you putting in this kid's bones? Do you ever have a kid like that where you're like, oh yeah, let me hold the little baby. And you're like, oh man, my spine just snapped in like 3 places. I'm like sweating in the store. I'm like, how long are they taking? Like, what do? You like switch hands and like hold them over here. And then eventually I was just like, you're on the floor, dude. Like, I'm just gonna like do a perimeter and make sure nobody abducts you, but I'm not holding you any longer. What's the heaviest thing you ever carried? I hope you're not like my wife through the threshold, right? Like, I don't know what the heaviest thing you ever carried in life. We carry heavy things around all the time. But the heaviest stuff, I mean, there's heavy and then there's real heavy. The heaviest stuff isn't a dumbbell you can hold up above your head for everybody else to see, although you're feeling it now. The heaviest stuff that you can hold is stuff of your heart. It's stuff that you carry around you that nobody else can see. It's the effects of wounds that you have felt, hurts that you have endured, betrayals that you have had to walk through. Listen, Hebrews 12 says this. You guys okay? Call it whenever you want to. You can call it whenever you want to. You good? Yeah. I don't know what it is. I just saw the weights and thought this would be fun. There's this verse in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 2. It says this. It's struggling. It's talking about like running a race, the race of life, and running it well. It's like as this whole cloud of witnesses are like watching. Like this whole cloud of witnesses are watching, and it's talking about running this race in front of them. And it says, like, let us lay aside every, this is the ESV. Your NIVs will say something different, but this is a really accurate picture of what this means in the Greek. And they're like, we don't care about the Greek. Will you finish this illustration quickly? It says, let us lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus. That weight that you carry is the result of the brokenness of this world. Like, people have hurt you and you have hurt them. And what that ultimately boils down to is this singular idea of, and I don't know if this word will trigger you. It's a real word. It's a true word. It's sin that we have ushered into this world. And so the weight that you carry, we inherently know is from the brokenness of the world. And we inherently know, whether you acknowledge it or not, whether you're a Christian or not, we inherently know that the weight that we carry around because of the brokenness of this world is because of sin. I don't have some good psychology for you to fix your relationships today. What we're talking about today is gospel truth for your relationships today. Do you ever realize the longer you carry something heavy, the more it hurts? Okay. You could see it around them. We did this in the first service, and like the longer the two guys had to hold it, they were right here, the closer their friends got to them. Like, and they would whisper stuff to them, like, "You all right? Nobody loves you guys enough to whisper that to you. But like those guys, they would whisper to them, "You all right? You need a little boost? Like, do you have deodorant on?" And I didn't say it, but I could see all of this stuff happening right here in the front row, because the longer you carry something, doesn't matter the size of it. It hurts. It gets heavier. And some of you have been walking around with hearts like this. You guys can put them down. It's the first time I heard amen in like months and months and months. You guys clap for, I'm doing the hard work up here. The longer you carry something, no matter how big or how small, the harder it is. The more it hurts, the heavier it feels. And some of you have gotten used to walking around with hearts like that, carrying a weight that you weren't designed to carry. Listen, the heaviest thing that you will ever carry on the inside because of the brokenness of sin is unforgiveness. Oh, I know as I wander into this area today that there are people in this room that will watch this online who will immediately put up a defense and check out because you have been hurt and you don't want to forgive. I know that some of you will be, I hope not traumatic, some of you will be reliving hurts as I speak about this. And that's why I was praying that stuff like up front, like, as you kind of like think about this, the hurts are real, and they are real, and the offenses were real, and they were real, and it's a result of brokenness and sin, and some of you didn't deserve it, didn't do anything to ask for it, but yet there you are carrying the consequences of someone else who hurts you. And I know that that's a real, and it's a heavy, and it's a painful thing. And yet I have to stand up here and say, I know that hurts. Forgive them. I thank God that that's not my idea. That's his idea. And in Matthew chapter 18, it teaches us about this. Listen, it's the heaviest weight that we keep carrying around unforgiveness because we believe a lie. Here's the lie that is spit at us every time we are hurt, every time we refuse to forgive, from the father of lies. The lie is the same. You've heard it. I've heard it. We may not have acknowledged it, but it is this. Unforgiveness is justice. It's not. It's a prison. But somehow we think if we don't forgive them, then they will continue to pay for the hurt that they caused us. And we think things like that, things that feel right, like they do deserve to pay for how they've hurt us. Have you ever felt that about somebody? Like, if I forgive them, how will they know how deeply this wound struck me? If I forgive them, aren't I letting them off the hook? Isn't that too easy? Shouldn't they pay? Shouldn't they have to deal with some sort of consequence? We look around and we don't see it everywhere else, and we feel like we're the only ones holding the key to the justice that they must experience. I can't let this go. I can't forgive them. They have done wrong, and that wrong has hurt. What does it say about them or what they've done to me if I just forgive? Peter was at the beginning of this passage. Jesus had been teaching about a lot of things. And Peter, he's one of those guys who, you know the type, they'll ask a question that they have the answer to just so they can say the answer out loud in front of everybody else and sound really smart. Do you know anybody like that? That kind of student. The disciples are all here, and it goes, Peter goes up to Jesus in Matthew chapter 18, and he asks him, he says, "Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother whose sister who sins against me?" Notice it says sins against me. It's real. This is a real offense, a real wound he's talking about in this example. This isn't just something that is perceived or misunderstood or maybe it shouldn't hurt like that. There's a real offense. And he says, how many times should I forgive somebody who has really hurt me, who has really sinned against me? How many times? And before he lets Jesus answer, this nerd says, it's okay to call him that. Like, I don't really mean it, right? Like, he jumps out with his own answer. Like, you can tell he's like, this is going to be more than Jesus is going to say. This is more than anybody would say. This is more than you or I would say. How many times would you answer? Like, I'd be like, one's, you know? I don't know what the saying is, but like, burn me once, shame on you. Burn me twice, shame on me. Whatever, you know, like, I would be like, one. One is what I'm required to forgive. Peter comes out with the answer himself, and he goes, seven times, right, Jesus? Like, look at me, how smart am I? And Jesus, he responds with, I tell you, not seven times, but 70 times. Some of your translations have seven times 70 times. If you're really into math, you can do that. Like, 77 times. Try keeping track of 77 times forgiving the same person for sinning against him. Jesus was saying, like, forget the math. It's not about the math. This isn't a calculation where we keep the scale ourselves and we figure out what the right amount of forgiveness is and what the right amount to go with the wrong amount of offense. This isn't a ledger that we keep where we keep a tally or a note on our iPhone going like, oh, he did it again. Gonna keep this one here and remember, okay, I forgive them once for that. Maybe twice, that's it. Cutting him off. This isn't that. Like, Jesus is like, you want to keep track because the offenses hurts, but don't keep track. Just forgive. Don't do math. Just forgive. Stop calculating how many times they've hurt you. Just forgive. That's hard. I wonder if that's why Jesus, he jumps into this parable to illustrate his point. It says, therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began to settle the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him. 10,000 bags of gold. That doesn't make any sense to me. Does it make sense to you? If it makes sense to you, we need to hang out more. Because I've never seen a bag of gold. Like, is that under a rainbow somewhere? Do I gotta like thank my lucky charms to try to find that? Like, I don't think like bags of gold. How many thousands of dollars is that? So I started digging into it to try to like understand what a bag of gold would be, because this guy owes 10,000 bags of gold, and I don't know how you feel about that, but that seems like kind of a lot. One bag of gold in this time period was 20 years of work. 20 years average salary, one bag of gold. Did you do the math already? This guy owed 200,000 years of work to his master. How do you rack up a debt like that? You don't rack up a debt like that getting boxes from Amazon. That's not like, oh, we overdid our shopping and clothing budget this month. It's not like you can't get enough credit cards to rack up that amount of debt. It's an impossible debt. Jesus is like interjecting some humor into the story. Like, everybody listening goes like, what are we talking about? 200,000 years of work? That's absolutely impossible. So this guy is brought to him and it says, since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. At this, the servant fell on his knees before him, and he said, be patient with me, and I will pay back everything. Baloney. That's a lie. This guy can't pay. He knows he can't pay back that much. You can't live that long. How are you going to pay back that much? That's not like, I'm going to go play a scratch off. You know, I'll be able to pay you back. This is more, it's an impossible debt. And yet the servant's master took pity on him. Listen, canceled the debt and let him go. Scotch free. Big mercy, impossible debt. But when the servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins. You know what this is? This is 100 days of work. I can deal with that. 100 days of work? You give me a little bit of time, I can move some money around. I'll raid my kids' baseball card collection and find something good in there, right? Like, give me enough time, give me a week, and I'll be able to, let me move some money around, let me move some accounts, let me sell a car, let me put some, I was going to tell you my waist size, I'm not going to do that. Put some old jeans on eBay, you know, like I can figure it out. He comes to him and he says, pay back what you owe me, he demanded. His fellow servant fell on his knees and begged him, be patient with me and I will pay it back. And if he would have been patient with him, he would have been able to pay it back. But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. Unforgiveness is a prison that we think we're keeping them in, but really it's one that we are setting for ourselves. The other servants saw what had happened. They went to the master outraged and they told him everything that had happened. The master called the servant in and said, you wicked servant, I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you? In anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. How long would it take him to pay back all that he owed? 200,000 years of wages. An eternity? This is how much my heavenly Father will treat each of you. I wonder if Peter at this point is like, wish I wouldn't have asked that question. Unless you forgive. Unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart. This parable, it shows the impossible debt that we owe and how Christ wiped it out for us. All of the sin and all of the brokenness we have brought into the world at the cross for those who would believe, he has taken us and he has made us white as snow and cast our sin as far as the east is from the west from us. He chooses to remember them no more. This is about impossible debt and incredible mercy versus our tiny debts that we show to each other and have with each other, and our refusal to show the mercy that we have experienced from Christ to others. The prison flips. We think unforgiving somebody is keeping them in a prison. It's justice. It's punishing them. But the only person in the prison is you. You are only punishing yourself. You are carrying around a weight from the brokenness of this world that God has not given you, designed you for, and one that he wants to take from you so that you could walk in freedom. Forgiveness is freedom. It's freedom. Forgiven people, forgive, even when it hurts. The worship team is going to come out. Listen, forgiveness is not pretending that the offense didn't exist. It's not. Forgiveness is not saying, hear me. It's not saying what they did to you doesn't matter. It does. It angers God. It's not just a sin against you, do you see? It's a sin against him, your father. Forgiveness is not forgetting who people are and what they've done to you. It's not removing boundaries or inviting them back into your life so that they can hurt you again and do the same thing again. It's not permitting them or giving them a permission to be abusive in your life. It's not opening yourself up and just trusting them again. This takes wisdom. But forgiveness is a choice of your will. Forgiveness is God's will for you. Forgiveness is choosing to release the debt, not to try to keep collecting on it. Forgiveness is choosing to trust that God is the one who is judge, that justice was never supposed to be ours, that was a weight for him to carry, for him to deal with. Forgiveness is how you start healing. Forgiveness is how you stop reliving the pain through the offense that was dealt to you. Forgiveness is how joy starts to return. Forgiveness is freedom. It's not something that is done once. It's not something we keep track of. It is something we are called to do in the face of every offense. Maybe you've been carrying around the weight of something little and you haven't realized that you have been carrying it a long time and that it's affecting you. Maybe it's like a 1 pound thing. Maybe it's a 10 pound. Maybe it's a really big thing. Maybe you've been hurt deeply in your past, somebody really has wounded you and sinned against you. Whether it's a little weight you've been carrying or a really big weight that you have been carrying, God calls you and asks you and tells you, forgive. He's saying, like, let me have it. I can carry this for you. You want to know how to forgive? You forgive by admitting the wound. By having the courage to look inside your heart and say, this offense hurt. I have been struggling and it has messed with my life and it has messed with my relationships and I've been carrying this weight. And you sit there and you cry the tears and you feel the pain and you hold the weight of it in your hands and you don't flinch or look to the left or the right or try to move that anywhere. And you don't cast it back upon that person. Instead, you hold the weight of it and then you kneel at the cross and you go, God, I need you to take this from me. Help me forgive. God, help me let it go. I can't carry this weight. I don't want to live in this prison. I have been so hurt and I need you to rescue me from this. Help me to forgive the way you have forgiven me. And maybe while you're there, you look up at that cross and you remember this Jesus who hung there, having been flogged and whipped with a crown of thorns on his head, his body broken, hanging there as people walked around him and mocked him and cursed him. And in this sweet and beautiful prayer, our example on that cross whispered to his Father, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they do. And there at that cross, you acknowledge the pain and you release it to him. And you say, God, I trust you. I trust that you are good and that you are the judge and that you will hold justice rightly for me. And you may have to do that over and over and over again, but if you do, you will be sprung from the prison and the weight that has trapped you. And you will start to experience the forgiveness and the joy that he has for you. If you don't believe me, ask somebody who has been forgiven much and because of that has forgiven much, and they will tell you, forgiveness is freedom. I don't know if you caught this in this series. We've been walking through all different kinds of stuff in our relationships, and we've been all over the Bible talking about our relationships, but it keeps coming back to this. It keeps coming up in these little gospel moments showing up in every message, and I don't know if you've been paying attention, but in every one of these messages through this series, what we have been saying over and over and over again is like, be like Jesus in your relationships. You want to know how not to ruin everything? Hear what Jesus has to say. Act like Jesus in your relationships. Ask him what he would have you do, how he would have you live, how he would have you heal these relationships. We are so good at ruining everything. But hear me, Jesus fixes everything. God, we thank you for our relationships, some of the best gifts that you have given us, some of the greatest hurts we have carried, all happen in the context of these messy and sometimes beautiful relationships that we have. We pray that you would help us to be more like you, be more like Jesus in our relationships. Help us to love like you love. Help us to care about others the way you care about others. Help us to be patient the way you have been patient with us, and help us to forgive the way you have forgiven us, because forgiven people forgive others. I pray that you would, even before this ends, that you would grab the attention of those that are here in this room, and that while this next song plays, that they would find themselves at the feet of the cross holding that unforgiveness that they have been holding for so long. And I pray that you would give them the courage and the strength and the trust to lay that at your feet and to trust you with it. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.